Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. Today is Sunday, and normally on Sunday we do the Sunday Weekly Review, and I will be getting to all the topics of the week. I especially want to respond to the really disgusting charge that Karl Rove made, and I want to talk about also the renditions. It seems that Italy may be punishing our Americans for sending people over to be tortured. And we'll get to all of that, and most importantly, my guest, Ambassador Joe Wilson, right after this. Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I apologize for those of you that have had some technical problems. I think they've been on our end, but we're fine now, and I hope you haven't given up on us, because we've got a really terrific guest. Coming up later on in the show is going to be Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV. This is a man who truly, well, he's an American hero. He put his country ahead of his president. Now, most ambassadors, they're political appointees. They're people who've given so much money to a political campaign. In fact, you've probably never heard of them. Ambassador Joe Wilson, well, he's someone who's special. He's someone who's become a household name ever since he's the one that told the Bush administration, well, that they didn't have the facts on whether Saddam Hussein was getting nuclear weapons out of Niger, the country of Niger, I'm pronouncing it wrong, the country of Niger in Africa. And when they refused to listen to him, and when they, in fact, put out in the president's State of the Union speech that Iraq was trying to get nuclear weapons, well, Joe Wilson did what the honorable thing to do is. He went before the public, and he said, you know what? Your administration is lying to you. And that's an unusual thing for anyone to do. And yet he did it. He stood up to his administration. He stood up for his country. And what happened? Well, his wife got hurt, got slimed in the process. Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson, was outed as a CIA agent by Robert Novak, the conservative columnist. Now, who told Robert Novak about Joe Wilson's wife, and why did they do it? Why would high-ranking people in the Bush administration, people in the White House, break the law, and it is a law to disclose a CIA agent, why would they do that if not to get revenge for Joe Wilson? Now, there is an investigation, and that investigation is being conducted by a man by the name of Peter Fitzgerald. I'm going to ask Joe Wilson about the investigation into his wife, and how it is that he determined that he had to put his country's interest ahead of his president's interest. Now, Joe Wilson is a distinguished past. I mean, let's be clear. This is a guy who is a career Foreign Service officer. He wasn't your typical political appointee ambassador. He served from 1976 to 1988 as the ambassador to Gabon and Sao Tome and Principe. These are two small countries in Africa under the first President Bush. He also headed Clinton's Africa policy. In 1990 and 91, he found himself as second in charge of our mission in Iraq. And in fact, at the time of the Iraqi war against Kuwait, Saddam Hussein had several Americans as hostages, and Americans ran to the U.S. Embassy. Some 800 American citizens were sheltered by Ambassador Joe Wilson at that time. He received a commendation by the first president, George Bush, for saving their lives. At that time, Saddam Hussein threatened to execute those who harbored Americans, and Joe Wilson risked his life to save others. In fact, he's actually the last diplomat to meet with Saddam Hussein. But he's much more famous for what he did recently, the last couple of years, telling the truth about Bush's Iraqi policy. And it's all in his new book, The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. And we'll get to him in just a few moments. I do also want to talk today, during the Sunday Weekly Review, about Karl Rove's extraordinary statements, where he basically declares war on half the population. He gives an incredible slander on half of Americans, claiming that liberals don't care about American security, that they didn't give a damn about 9/11, that they wanted therapy for the people who murdered 3,000 Americans. Obviously, that lie couldn't be more false, but the fact that the Republicans are defending it, defending that vicious slander, makes me wonder, really, about the future of the country and anyone who would support the Republican Party. And yes, I also want to talk about our outsourcing of torture, what's called, in the nicest way, extraordinary rendition, the fact that Americans have now been caught red-handed trying to put people in other countries to be tortured, which is not just a violation of the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, that we can't torture people. It's a violation, it seems to me, of everything we hold dear in America. We shouldn't allow people to be tortured. And now, whereas our own government doesn't give a damn about torture and doesn't want to prosecute anyone, probably because they put these people up to it, in fact, it seems likely they did, Italy is coming forward to try Americans, and Canada is coming forward to have hearings on the Americans that have been caught torturing people and sending people to be tortured. And I say, Italy, if you capture those Americans, you try them and you punish them to the severest extent of the law. And the fact that our administration, our president, is not cooperating with Canada shows, indeed, his not just his callousness, but the fact that he is against the Constitution of the United States. Our president is not upholding his oath to the Constitution, which precisely prohibits torture, and he will not cooperate with Canada. And I say, Canada, you need to take every strong reaction. If you have to kidnap those CIA agents, Canada, to try them. Apparently, if we are acting extrajudicially, you know, it wouldn't bother me if Canada did the same. Let the world focus on the fact that the United States not only doesn't obey international law, it doesn't obey its own law. So I want to get to all of that, and also to Ambassador Joe Wilson, and also to your calls. All you have to do is dial in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, and we'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Our guest, Ambassador Joe Wilson, has been delayed just a bit. We will get to him in just a few moments. I want to talk first about, well, Karl Rove. Now, this is the president's main advisor. He's the power behind the throne. In fact, there's a book that calls him the president's brain. And George Bush has other names for his main advisor, Karl Rove. He calls him Turd Blossom. Turd Blossom being the affectionate name one gives to a weed that grows out of manure in Texas. Now, this is the president's name for Karl Rove. It's not mine, although I can think of some less attractive names for him. Now, this is a guy that Bush calls Turd Blossom because what he does is he manages to take manure and to make what Bush considers beautiful things from it, makes things grow from it. A lot of people don't know about Karl Rove's past. This is a guy who stole stationery from a rival campaign, wrote a false press statement from that campaign, trumpeted it, and used it to win an election. This is a guy who planted his own bug in his own campaign office, found it, and then said, oh, a rival campaign had planted it. This is a guy whose lies and mistreatment and dirty politics know no bounds. And that's why George Bush likes him. I mean, let's be clear. He likes Rove because he knows that Rove plays unfair, he lies, he plays dirty. And anyone who thinks that George Bush is a decent human being, and I know there are people out there are people, there are moderate Republicans who agree or disagree with his policies and actually think that George Bush has some decency. Think about the man he hired, Karl Rove. And think about what Karl Rove said recently. Karl Rove said that liberals don't care about 9/11. That when 3,000 Americans were dead, all those New Yorkers right in the blue states, they didn't care. They didn't care about the lives of their fellow citizens. No, all those firefighters, most of them in unions, police officers, they didn't care. They didn't care at all. Nope. He said, in fact, that liberals wanted, that conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 and the attacks, prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding for our attackers. Now, who is Karl Rove referring to? Who prepared an indictment? Name one district attorney in the U.S. who prepared an indictment. Who tried to offer therapy to Osama bin Laden? Who did not support the war against Afghanistan? There is one person. Her name is Barbara Lee. She's a congresswoman from Oakland. She did not support the war in Afghanistan, though I'm told it's not because of she didn't support the war so much as she didn't support the man prosecuting the war, President Bush. She would be the lone voice. Every other member of Congress voted for the war in Afghanistan. Americans very much disagreed on the war in Iraq, but we all agreed to fight back the war in Afghanistan, 98% of us, if you will. So what is Karl Rove saying? Karl Rove is, in effect, lying. And he's lying with a big smile on his face. He knows he's lying, and he's doing so to, in effect, declare war on half of America. And, you know, you could say it's just one crazy man, albeit a man with an ear of the president. But then you look at what the Republican Party has done. Tom DeLay said, quote, that's not slander, that's the truth, unquote. And the National Republican Senatorial Committee sent out an email fundraising appeal saying, quote, Karl Rove is right, unquote. Okay, so they're lying. They know they're lying. And let's be clear what their purpose is. Their purpose is to divide the nation and to actually make stupid people believe him. Now, let's be very clear here. Karl Rove knows he's lying, but he thinks there are conservatives in America that are stupid enough to believe him. And you know what? There are. There are always people stupid enough to follow demagoguery, to follow people like Karl Rove, and the president supports him. So let's be clear. Let's be clear, Democrats. That's it. No more cooperation with the president on anything until Karl Rove apologizes or is fired. That's it. No more cooperation. Let's not pretend that these people are our fellow Americans. Karl Rove is not American. He is un-American. Because he is lying about half the American populace. He is shaming the victims of 9/11. He is telling the rest of us we don't belong in America. And I got to tell you, there's some of us in the blue states that are starting to look at the United States of Canada and thinking, boy, that might be a lot nicer. At least Canada respects human rights. Canada respects the freedoms in our Constitution. The amazing thing is not that Karl Rove is such a jerk. And I could say worse things, but I am on air, on the public airways. That's not the amazing thing. The fact that he lies about Democrats? No. The fact that he calls half of Americans cowards? No. The amazing thing is that the Republican Party stands behind him. And I have to say, if you support the Republican Party, after hearing what Karl Rove has to say, well, I think it's time that we shun those people as well. I don't know what else to do, folks. Do you have any answers here? Because I'm at a loss. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I'll come right back with your calls after this.
This is Newsbreak. More than 24 people dead after at least three suicide bombing attacks in and around the Iraqi city of Mosul. Bombers hit at least three areas, including a hospital and a police station. A search resumes for a 13-year-old Boy Scout in Yellowstone National Park. He fell into the Yellowstone River while trying to throw a log into the water. He was on a Boy Scout camping trip. The U.S. will stand with those who stand up against oppression and tyranny. President Bush making that assertion as he marked the United Nations International Day in support of victims of torture. Nearly 20 large wildfires raging in the western U.S. The two most threatening ones can be found in Arizona and Utah. More than 79,000 acres charred north of Phoenix as a result of the three blazes merging into one firestorm. In Utah, evacuations are in place for the town of Gunlock as the Blue Spring fire moves closer. More news at usaradio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Is the pressure of credit card debt hurting your family, your ability to sleep, or focus at work? Get ready for a toll-free number. With one call to Debt Relief of America, you can find out how to eliminate up to 75% of your credit card debt, both the principal and interest. Stephanie from Denver writes, "I was buried in debt with no clue how to get out. The staff at DRA is caring and understanding. They worked with my creditors to cut my debt in half." Debt Relief of America negotiates with your creditors to wipe out the debt so you can move forward with your life with more cash in your pocket, less stress, and without the stigma of bankruptcy. Call now for a risk-free debt consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Best of all, Debt Relief of America does all the work for you. Call for your free consultation now. 800-499-4102. That's 800-499-4102. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can be debt-free. Call 800-499-4102 today. 800-499-4102.
Strengthening leg muscles controls pain in osteoarthritic knees. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin. When you complain that your knees hurt, your doctor tries to find a cause. If he finds nothing, he tells you that you have osteoarthritis. Another way to say that he doesn't have the foggiest idea what causes your knee pain. This study shows that isometric and range of motion strength programs help control pain and increase range of motion in people who have osteoarthritis. The patients had less pain on moving their knees and were able to perform motor tasks faster. The knee is two bones held together by four bands called ligaments. The ends of bones are protected by thick gristle called cartilage. Osteoarthritis damages cartilage, so it doesn't fit properly, making the knees unstable. Strengthening muscles stabilizes the knee to allow less movement at the joint to increase function and limit pain.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're still hoping to reach Ambassador Joe Wilson to come on during the 2 hours of this program, and we will keep trying that. In the meantime, I've had it with Karl Rove. I've had it with this administration. I've had it for some time. But, you know, there's a difference between duplicity and lying and slandering half of America. To say that the people of New York wanted to respond to the people, to the terrorists of September 11th with therapy is really a vicious, vicious slander. It suggests that liberals are weak, and I say we need to show them our strength. And if it means civil disobedience, if it means failure to cooperate with this government, we need to let Bush know that if he attacks half of Americans and his whole party, the Republican Party, stands behind this vicious slander, then we have to start taking matters in our own hands. And if that means shunning people who defend this, then maybe that's what we have to do as Americans. If we have to become two nations, red and blue, let's be clear, there's no bipartisanship left. There's none left. How can there be? Unless they back off this. I don't know. Maybe I'm going too far. Let me go to the calls and see if you agree with me. Let me start with Leonard from San Diego. Leonard, am I taking this too far?
No, you're not taking it too far. You know, there are brave Americans who are Democrats that have fought and died in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And these brave Americans who come from blue states deserve not to be slandered while they're giving their lives and their blood and their, unfortunately, their guts, men and women, in Iraq and Afghanistan. It gets me so mad, I almost see stars. I just wish those stars would come down and do something to Karl Rove.
I'll tell you what gets me, there are all kinds of crazy Republicans, conservatives out there. I mean, Ann Coulter can shoot her mouth off and say whatever she wants, and people understand that she's a clown. But when the president's deputy advisor, someone who is not just a deputy advisor, I mean, I think all of us on the Hill understand the two most powerful people in the entire administration are Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. Bush, I would consider third in that because I think he gives out orders less than Rove or Cheney. When one of the most powerful men in the administration says that half of Americans are traitors, that half of Americans can't be trusted to defend their country, then I, as far as I see it, it's a sign that he does not want our half of America to cooperate with him in any way at all. The president is writing us off and saying, go to hell. And that's how I take it.
Well, you know, Mark, there's one thing that I've noticed about this, and that's this, that the president's numbers are going down because the American people are learning the truth. The Congress has been asking, including Senator Lindsey Graham this week, to have a timetable to have Americans get out of Iraq, because all of a sudden the president has to give a speech next Tuesday to keep us in Iraq. This is sadness. It means every day American men and women are dying because the president is trying to keep up his poll numbers, and he's failing. The American people are finally seeing through him.
Yeah, and there's just no way out. There's just no way out. The president hasn't given us a way out. No one can seem to define a way out. Leonard, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Gordon in Michigan. Gordon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, you know, this smells like projectionism, because there's so much suspicion right now about this administration, and I think as anybody who has a lick of reason, we ought to stand up and say, let's pursue all these suspicions we have about this administration. Let's pursue all of our doubts. We've been saying, well, maybe they're just incompetent. But let's go beyond that. If they've declared war, let's go to the point of saying, yes, you have evil intent. Try not to prove it.
You know, I wonder what would happen if Americans start rising up and do civil disobedience just every stretch of the way. You know, one of the things that interests me about the war in Iraq is Republicans hate taxes. I mean, they detest taxes. They don't want to pay for anything from our parks to our citizens who are in dire need. So wouldn't it be interesting? It'll never happen. But wouldn't it be interesting? Take a poll. And
we have 60% of the people saying this war in Iraq is a mistake.
Right. What do we do if we say that the 40% or so who still support the war in Iraq, you pay to support it. You think it's a great idea? Fine, you pay for it. Their kids aren't fighting and dying. We don't have a draft. So at least make them pay financially for it. I think that would drop off support very quickly.
Well, you know, I just went to a PTSD meeting. We had more and more guys there, and these are all Vietnam vets, and we just started off the cuff, made one remark about Iraq, and the place just turned into almost like a riot. We were so pissed off at everything that was going on there, and I'm thinking, you know, and the Vietnam vets are the point that they have, I think they have a certain political pressure. And
well, what are they doing?
To a point where we have a voice.
Gordon, what are they doing to channel that anger, to channel that energy in a productive way?
Well, you know, I'm there trying to give them a political option. And
how about a march on Washington, Vietnam vets against the war? Of course, we've had lots of marches against the war, and the president doesn't even come out to talk to people. But somehow I think that saying – I think that – you know, one of the things that this reminds me of is I remember after O.J. Simpson was acquitted, and I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and 90% of us thought he was guilty, or at least a large number of us thought he was guilty. And at that time – a number of people did an amazing thing. They started to shun him. He would walk into restaurants. And I remember, I was in Los Angeles at the time. He didn't actually do this in a restaurant. But I remember people telling me. He would walk into a restaurant and people would get up quietly, pay their check, and just leave. And I wonder if we were to say to our fellow citizens, look, you know, I understand you want a tax cut. I understand you're pro-life on abortion. But I need to know from you as my friend, as my family member, as my colleague, that you firmly reject what Karl Rove says and that you won't give any money to anyone who's declared war on half of the American people. And if this has to break up friendships, you know, we are heading towards civil war. At least we can let our friends and family know that friends don't let friends vote Republican. Not after this. Not after what Karl Rove has to say, because they are not just lying to people, but they are taking people with weak minds who actually believe this kind of stuff. There are, I got to tell you, I heard an acquaintance say to me at a gathering recently, say to me that John Kerry supported indictment rather than war for the attacks on 9/11. And I was flabbergasted. I said, now you know that's false. You're just lying to try to tick me off. He said, no, I think it's true. I said, no, you don't really think it's true. He said, yes, I think it's true. I said, well, then I'm never going to speak with you again until you apologize. And
yeah,
now he wasn't a good friend of mine.
Trend. They're trying to force lies down our throats, make us believe lies. If we fail on this test, they're just going to force more and more lies on us. We have to check every lie and throw it back in their face.
I'm afraid so. And you know, I really hate that the President of the United States has said he hates half of America, that he's declared war on half of America. You know, President Nixon was like that. But I think President Bush is even worse, and it shocks me that the Republicans are like, oh, why aren't the Democrats more bipartisan on Social Security? Totally apart from the issue of Social Security, which they're trying to dismantle. How can they expect us to be bipartisan when they keep jamming their foots down our throats? I think we have to say, look, you know what? Whatever your views are on the issues, we can't even discuss the issues until you apologize to the half of America, because all of America, or 99%, let's say, of America is patriotic, and to suggest that half aren't, that in itself, I think, is un-American. Thanks for your call, Gordon. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm going to get some more calls after the break. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. And in the second hour, we're still trying to reach Ambassador Joe Wilson. Hopefully he'll be on, and we'll be back right after this.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching. Now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save save 50%. This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us, and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've been talking about Karl Rove's extraordinary statement that half of America wanted to respond to the 9/11 terrorists with therapy. And, you know, if it were just a joke, albeit a bad joke, that would be one thing. But the Republican Party is backing it up. You've got the president's press secretary backing him up, Tom DeLay, saying it's not slander, it's the truth. And the National Republican Senatorial Committee sending out fundraising letters saying Karl Rove is right. So when they say he's right, and everyone says he's right, does that mean they actually believe it? And which is worse, lying, slandering half of America in order to get votes, or actually believing that half of America is traitors? And is that un-American? I think it is, but I want to hear from you. Let's go to John in San Diego. John, have I gone too far here?
No, I don't think you're going far enough.
Oh, okay.
But
how far would you go?
Let me tell you about me and my family. My sister knows that I know that she and her husband voted Republican for Bush. She is not talking to me anymore. I think she's very embarrassed. And so it goes to what you're talking about, you know, there's just a rift here growing.
See, now, I'd be willing to accept back in the fold people who apologized. I mean, if someone says, you know what, I voted for Bush, but I now realize that he lied to get us into war in Iraq, and I certainly don't agree with calling half of Americans traitor, and, you know, will you be my brother again, then I'd welcome those people with open arms. But it sounds like she's not doing that.
I don't know what's going on in this country. People don't seem to be able to, you know, say, well, I was wrong anymore.
You know, I think part of it is that demagoguery has a certain hold. You know, I'm not going to make Dick Durbin's mistake and compare the Republicans to Nazis, but at the same time, I understand how demagoguery works. We've had some in this country as well where you promote this enemy and you talk about this enemy and suddenly your friends and your neighbors are the enemy. And that to me is the essence of what Karl Rove is saying. He is saying that liberals are the enemy. And so I think we have to respond back and say, no, you're the enemy. You and the president are the enemy of America. And let them know that. Because anytime you say that Americans, half of Americans are traitors, I'm afraid you yourself are un-American. I don't know. I mean, I hate that there's a family rift. Do you meet and not discuss politics, or you just don't talk at all?
Well, she's halfway across the country, so it's just telephones. But she said she's called. She doesn't call and stuff like that. But anyway, getting back to going far enough.
Yeah, what do you think
we should
do?
I want to let you know that I'm one of the 2% that did not agree that we should attack Afghanistan.
Well, I disagree with you, but go ahead.
I'll tell you why. It's because I think it's the wrong target. Osama bin Laden and the 19 hijackers, that's an official story that was put out by the administration. And I have long ago stopped believing official stories. So I don't think they have evidence. I mean, not that I like Osama bin Laden or anything. It's just that I think he was the wrong target, and that was not the response we needed.
What was the right target? Saudi Arabia or someone else?
I think we needed a full investigation because of Bush's actions by sitting there reading the Ghost Book, there is a very strong indication that something bigger is going on inside the government, and we needed a real investigation. I don't think we're ever going to get it because the government's in control of that. But
well, I'll tell you this, John. I haven't gone, as much as I'm angry about Karl Rove, I haven't gone far enough to suggest the Bush administration was behind 9/11. I have said quite clearly they were incompetent not to prevent it. They should have known about it. They should have stopped it. And, in fact, they tried to make it a political event, as we've seen by Karl Rove. But I'll tell you this. I'm having on my show this Thursday a guy by the name of Alex Jones who makes precisely the point you make, And I'm going to hear him out. I also, in two Sundays, I'm going to have Peter Lance on, an investigative reporter who makes some of these arguments. So I'm at least listening to them with an open mind. I really...
Alex is pretty extreme. I like Alex. He's a little extreme. If you read David Ray Griffin's book, he just disproves the official story. Very eloquent.
Well, I'm willing to have David Ray Griffin on as well. I've been trying to get him actually for some time. So check out my show. By the way, even if you don't hear me on Sundays, you can catch me on the web at radioinsidescoop.com. I have a weekday show every day of the week.
Yeah, I do that.
Only on Sundays in San Diego. And I'm exploring these questions. And if I find evidence, I'm not quick to state that the President of the United States is behind killing 3,000 Americans. I'm going to be very, very slow to say that. But if the evidence is overwhelming and I have to come to that conclusion, I will.
Well, it's, you know, as far as Bush himself, it's hard to know because there's other people behind the scenes that are really running things.
Well, I'm going to hear him out. But to me, you don't even have to go that far. It's clear that they should have known the attack was coming. It's clear they didn't prevent it. And it's clear, and this I find more disgusting than even that, that they are using an event that brought Americans together instead to tear Americans apart. And that, I think, is shameful. Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. Let me go to Jeffrey, also in San Diego. Jeffrey, am I going too far here?
Like you said, I think we're not going far enough.
Okay. Well, how far would you go? United States of Canada? I mean, that looks really nice. Have you seen those maps?
I'm loving San Diego too much. I don't think running away from the problems really solve any.
No, Jeffrey, the maps are really good. They showed right after the 2004 elections. All the blue states actually connect to each other or to Canada. So the idea was that Canada would drop down. We'd have Washington, Oregon, and California down to San Diego. We'd get a lot of vacation there. You know, they're in Hawaii, which are the southernmost blue states. And then the rest of the country becomes Jesus land. I don't know if you saw those maps.
Yeah, I got you on that one, too. I can understand. I've seen those maps, and I agree with you as far as that's concerned.
It might be nice. So tell me, how far do you think we should go? What should we do? How should we respond to Karl Rove's declaration of war on half of us?
Well, your civil disobedience is right on. As long as we can get organized, the problem is just getting these people organized. One of the things that I'm involved with is a lawsuit, actually, we filed last July against... the Department of Justice. You can see it on the website, givemeliberty.org, and I wish everybody would take a look at that. We have an option, constitutional option. One of the problems in America right now is we do not pay enough attention to the Constitution. We're watching TV. We're not watching the country and the laws. The First Amendment, the last part of the First Amendment, petition of the, for the redress of grievances, that allows us to demand questions of our government when we feel they've wronged us, and if they fail to ask or answer those questions, we have the absolute right and the duty, the constitutional duty, to withhold our taxes as our payments. You're talking about cutting off their money supply.
Well, that's an interesting suggestion, John. Hang on for me. I want to get back with you on that point. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. We're going to continue into the second hour, so if you don't get us in San Diego, you can check us on the web at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address reagancollection.com.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? Their unique red hat? Their colorful parades? What about helping kids?
I think a lot of people think the Shriner guys have circuses and drive around in go-karts or whatever. But I don't think the nation quite gets it. You get it when you come here, though.
Shriners Hospitals provide children with some of the world's best orthopedic burn and spinal cord injury medical care. And they combine that care with progressive teaching and world-class research programs. Could it get any better? Actually, it does, because the Shriners provide their expert medical care to children totally without charge. Sure, the Shriners have a lot of fun, but helping kids is a part of that fun. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. I've been talking about Karl Rove's declaration of war against liberals, claiming that we wanted to respond to the terrorists with therapy. And the question is, how should we respond? How should we respond with this nasty slander? I mean, there may have been 2% that didn't support the war, but that's not true of the vast majority of Americans or American liberals. And it's an attack, really, on our patriotism. It's attack. And the question is, how do you respond? Now, I've got John from San Diego on the line. His response is to withhold taxes. I'm not sure that's the right idea, but go ahead. Did you explain your proposal? Because I want to respond to it.
Sorry, Mark. It's actually Jeffrey.
I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I apologize.
Not a problem. That was just a suggestion. I heard you talking about wanting to cut off their money supply.
Yeah.
And what you do is there's issues with getting in trouble with the IRS, but as long as you have, you do it properly and we organize. Again, we're doing it with our lawsuit. We have a class action lawsuit against the DOJ with 2,000 people, and we're doing it that way. The most important part is I tell you and you help research and get it out to the people. I can't tell everybody myself.
I'll tell you this, Jeffrey. I mean, I support, I mean, doing a lawsuit. That's certainly a legal way to go about it. I'm not so sure about withholding taxes. I mean, obviously, if you got permission, that would be one thing. That'd be fine. But
We do have permission. We have the First Amendment permission to do just that.
Well, it doesn't say withhold taxes. It says you have the right to peaceably petition your government for redress.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I'm not in front of my computer. I'm in my car on the side of the road right now talking to you. But there are these legal steps, and it's.
You know what? I don't want to knock what you're doing. I'm glad you're doing it. I guess I would propose a different way. It seems to me that one of the most powerful tools we have is one that is perfectly legal and extremely powerful, and it's called social ostracism. It's called telling your friends and neighbors that you don't appreciate them supporting a president that hates half of America and doesn't just disagree with but actually hates half of America. You know, the way we stopped smoking in America, or really lessened it, it hasn't stopped, but lessened smoking in America was not by having laws to stop it or ban it or so forth. I mean, the laws keeping out of public places. But I think that the most powerful way to get people to stop smoking was social ostracism, saying, you know what, if you smoke, I don't want you around me. And saying to people, you know what, if you actually give money to a Republican Party that has called me a traitor, you know what? I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I hate it. It's divisive. It's tearing America apart. But I have to think that that may even be more powerful than a lawsuit about taxes. I don't know. What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, it's tearing America apart, but they did it first.
Yep, they sure did.
You know, and if they want to play hardball, which is what they've been doing, they've been playing under the table, dirty pool, and we've been, you know, just we're taking it. We're behaving ourselves, and this whole issue about we don't like Howard Dean because he's outspoken, this and that. Hello, it's come to that.
Yeah,
we need to push back.
I think the Democrats
and
have to make clear
pressure, the social peer pressure that you're advocating. Absolutely, whatever it takes.
You know, it's interesting. Senator Joe Biden is someone who I think he's a decent sort. I have some respect for him. He's thinking of running for president, but he doesn't get the fact that this is an administration we can't cooperate with. I mean, it's one thing to cooperate with, you know, a John McCain, who I disagree with on a lot of issues, but is a man who is honest and who respects the other side and who respects America. And I disagree with John McCain on a whole bunch of issues. I wouldn't vote for him, but I could understand Democrats cooperating with him. not this president, not this administration, at no time. And Joe Biden needs to understand that, or he's going to get whomped in the Democratic primary. Hey, thanks for your call, Jeffrey. I appreciate that. We're going on to the next hour. I know I've got Bill from San Diego holding. Keep hanging on. We'll be right back at the top of the hour with more of the Inside Scoop. If you can't get it on the radio, go to the internet, radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be back.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way!
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Company.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRate reporting.
We're not going to win against the insurgency. The Iraqi people are going to win against the insurgency.
On Fox News Sunday, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld saying the insurgency in Iraq differs from successful rebellions in the past. He remarked that there's no native personality driving it. Rumsfeld saying the leaders of the insurgency are, quote, foreigners trying to impose their will against an elected government, and they are going to lose it. Secretary Rumsfeld isn't directly blaming the media for the lack of support for the Iraq war from the public, but he's pointing in that direction. On ABC's This Week, Mr. Rumsfeld says that news reports aren't stressing the fact that Afghanistan and Iraq have been liberated. He says instead the reports focus only on death and violence.
25 million Iraqi people have been liberated, and they have now have a sovereign government, and they've had a successful election, and the hospitals and the schools are open, and they're making good progress on developing a constitution, and they're going to have a final election in December of this year. Now, that's not as newsworthy, apparently, because it doesn't get reported as much.
The leader of U.S. operations in Iraq says he is not disagreeing with Vice President Richard Cheney's assessment that the Iraq insurgency is in its last throes. General John Avezade explaining that in 9 hours of testimony last week, the nine-second soundbite that the media played probably didn't allow people to understand what the four people testifying before the committee did say. USA Radio Network News.
Company could receive one quality award, but lately GM has been picking up more and more. Now there's a new study out from J.D. Power and Associates, and GM has walked away with five important awards. They're all for initial quality, including the highest-ranked entry midsize car, the highest-ranked premium midsize car, and the highest-ranked full-size car, along with the highest-ranked full-size SUV and the highest-ranked heavy-duty full-size pickup. Five is no fluke. It's the sign of real excellence. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Tell me where you are, and I will jump into my car. I won't slow down.
Only one car company could bring high-quality cars to millions of Americans. Only GM. To learn more, visit onlygm.com/quality.
At least two of the five people detained in the case of a missing Alabama teen in Aruba are being released. A court clerk in Aruba announcing that Paul Vandersloot, who is the father of suspect Joran Vandersloot, is being released from custody, as is a disc jockey on a boat. Works for a tour company in the area. Again, both have been or will be released shortly. Walton County, Florida Sheriff spokesman Lieutenant Frank Owens saying beachgoers are headed back to the water now.
Most everyone seems to be okay with the fact that they're able to go back in and just be wary.
Authorities have reopened beaches in the area following the fatal shark attack on a 14-year-old girl Saturday. A 13-year-old Boy Scout still missing after he fell into the Yellowstone River.
He and his friends were throwing a log into the Yellowstone River when he was knocked off balance and fell into the river.
Yellowstone National Park spokeswoman Cheryl Matthews says the hunt for the boy continues. This is USA Radio Network News.
Jeannie Bellin drove 40 miles each way to work to her job as a veterinary technician. She loved her job, but the animals saw more of her than her family did. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the three-step plan home business system. Today, Jeannie stays home with her daughter and works the three-step plan. Families all over the nation are trading in jobs for their own home business. To find out how you could make more money working from home, go to threestepplan.com or call 800-879-5819.
Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley joining L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca and others to announce the arrest of gang member Jose Orozco in connection with the murder of Deputy Jerry Ortiz.
Steve Cooley says it's time to crack down on gangs and bring an end to the violence and death they cause.
It's about time that we all start condemning the culture in various parts of our community that aid, encourage, and glorify the Orozcos of the world. That's going to start with some parents, community people, and others say enough is enough.
Cooley says the overall homicide rate has declined in recent years, but gang-related homicides are up, as are attacks on police officers. In Monterey Park, I'm Russ Spears.
There's a new addition to the Dutch royal family. Princess Maxima gave birth to a baby girl today, making Dutch Crown Prince Willem-Alexander the father of two daughters. The bouncing baby girl is the fifth grandchild of Queen Beatrix and is the third in line to the Dutch throne. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
Hey, where were you last year?
What happened to your hair?
Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel.
Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Medulloblastoma, hyperdiploidy, posterior mediastinum, Shimada classification. When an oncologist talks to you about childhood cancer, it could sound like a foreign language. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel.
Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, and I am extremely pleased and honored to report that I have a guest holding on the line, Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV. He's the author of The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. He is a rare creature, Ambassador Wilson. For one thing, he's an ambassador that many Americans know the name of. Most Americans have never heard of most of our ambassadors because most of them are political cronies. They've given some donation to the president's campaign, and so they're appointed ambassador to Switzerland or something like that, and we never hear of them. But Ambassador Wilson has played a major role in U.S. foreign policy, not just as ambassador to Gabon or Sao Tome and Principe under George H.W. Bush or as Clinton's Africa advisor, but also as a man who in 1990 and 91 saved the lives of 800 Americans at the U.S. Embassy there when Iraq declared war on Kuwait. But more importantly than all of that, and I think actually even braver, although that was a pretty brave thing to do, Ambassador Wilson has joined the role of those principled whistleblowers in the Bush administration, people like Richard Clark or John Dulio or Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, people who have put their country ahead of their president. And for that, I'm extremely honored to welcome to the Inside Scoop Ambassador Wilson. Ambassador Wilson, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Call me Joe.
Okay, I'll call you Joe. Joe, I'd like to go through. You've had a really amazing history, but I want to start with the thing you're most famous for, I think, and that is your trip down to Niger regarding 16 words that President Bush said in his State of the Union speech regarding Iraq getting nuclear materials from Niger. Tell us, if you will, how that came to be. How did you come to go to Niger, and what did you discover there?
Sure. In February of 2002, I was approached by the CIA and asked to attend a meeting to share with them information that I had about Niger's mining industry and to answer some of the analysts' questions. When I got to the meeting, I was briefed that a piece of intelligence had come into the hands of the U.S. government, suggesting that Saddam Hussein had attempted to purchase significant quantities of uranium from Niger. During the course of a meeting with about 12 analysts, I was asked if I would be willing to travel out there because I knew the country very well. I knew all the personalities in the former government, the government that was in power at the time the supposed memorandum of sale was signed, and asked a few questions and try and answer the remaining questions that the analysts had about it. I did so, spent 8 days out there, came back and said there's nothing to this allegation. At the same time that I was out there, a four-star Marine Corps general, roughly the same time, I think he was there a week earlier, had also been sent down to ask his own questions, and our ambassador on the scene had asked questions.
So you were the only person down there asking questions?
No, there were three of us at, within about a four-week period, and all of us came to the same conclusion that there was nothing to the story.
And all three of you reported back
to your
conclusion?
Right, all reported back through our appropriate channels. I reported back to the CIA, although the request actually had come from the office of the vice president, and indeed from the vice president himself, as he later admitted. The ambassador reported back to the State Department, and the Marine Corps general reported back to the Department of Defense.
And yet, of course, the president, notwithstanding these three reports, gave in his State of the Union speech the famous words that Condoleezza Rice said. They're just 16 words. It doesn't matter. They're just 16 words that said to the American people and to the world that Saddam Hussein was trying to purchase significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
That's right. And so long as the president was really talking about Africa, he might have been talking about any of the three other countries, total four countries in Africa that produce uranium for export. But as it turns out, the International Atomic Energy Agency asked for the documentation to support the allegation made by the president. They were empowered to do so by the UN Security Council resolution, which the United States drafted, which said in part in Article 10 that all nations will share all relevant material on prohibited nuclear programs with the International Atomic Energy Agency.
So did we share the documents backing up the assertion with the IAEA?
And the documents that we shared, the only piece of information that we shared with the IAEA were documents purporting to be the memorandum of sale of uranium from Niger to Iraq, which documents the International Atomic Energy Agency told the UN Security Council were rank forgeries.
Now, what makes it so clear that they were rank forgeries?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen the documents, but Dr. Albaradei said that the names were wrong, the dates were wrong, the seal was not official. And his deputy said that a simple hour-long search of Google would have yielded to any, you know, thoughtful analyst the same conclusion.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this further, including the fact that the U.S. said the British had intelligence that Iraq was trying to get nuclear weapons. I want to talk about that. And then I want to move on to what the administration did in response to your research, specifically what they did to your wife, Valerie Plame. And,
Actually, her name is Valerie Wilson.
Excuse me.
I didn't even get that part of it.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay, Valerie Wilson. I apologize. I shouldn't believe Bob Novak for anything. We'll be right back with more of Ambassador Joe Wilson right after this break. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you. They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, D-E-N-T-A-L.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and with me is my guest, the esteemed former Ambassador Joseph Wilson, a man who put his country ahead of his president and whose wife was punished by the administration for it. We're taking the story slow. In case you don't know all the details, we're giving you all the details. And Ambassador Wilson, I guess the first thing I should do is apologize for not getting your wife's name right. It just tells you I should know better than to believe Robert Novak, anything he has to say.
Well, she's now, certainly her public name is now Valerie Plame, so trust me, you're not the first.
I'm sure I'm not, but I will call her Valerie Wilson, certainly. But I want to get back to the first part of the story, though, before we get to the administration's retaliation. Now, in addition to this forged memo, which I believe came from Italian sources, is that correct?
I can't tell you which sources it came from. There's been a lot of speculation. The Italian speculation has been rife, but I really don't know. I just know when I was briefed that a foreign intelligence service has shared this information with U.S. intelligence.
Fair enough. And I have to tell you, one of the things I respect about you, Joe, and I will call you Joe since you told me to, is that you are willing to say what you know and what you don't know. Very few people in public office are willing to admit when they don't know something, so I got to say I respect that. So in addition to this forged memo, apparently the British had some evidence. Is that right or is that wrong?
Well, the British, and I've asked a number of journalists or suggested to a number of journalists that they go check this out, the British were under the same obligation as we were to share all their information with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And the only additional information that I'm aware of that they shared with the IAEA was a trip by an Iraqi diplomat, somebody I actually knew from my time as chargé in Baghdad, a trip that he made in 1999 throughout West Africa. That trip had been reported on by our embassies all over West Africa, and most people decided there was nothing to that. Now, interestingly, the British don't have representation in Niger, so they would be hard pressed to develop any sort of intelligence. And also, it's important to understand that as the Senate Select Report on Intelligence indicated when it finally came out, the U.S. had discounted the British intelligence both to the U.S. Senate and to the White House. The Deputy Director of Central Intelligence told the Senate that he believed that the British had, quote, stretched the case in October of 2002, And George Tenet told the White House in two faxes and a telephone call, also in October of 2002, that in the judgment of the American intelligence community, the British had, quote, exaggerated the case. So 4 months before the President's State of the Union address, both the Senate Intelligence Committee and the White House understood that American intelligence didn't believe the British assertion was worth the paper it was written on.
Joe, let me ask you this. It's clear to me, and I want to talk in general about this a little bit later on in the hour, if you still have time to be with us, but it's clear to me that when the White House wants to attack an idea, they go after the messenger when they can't attack the message. That was clear with the Swift boats, with John Kerry. That's clear in how they totally trashed Richard Clark and Paul O'Neill, and they've certainly done their number on you. So, but I do want to, I guess, address some of the issues I've read by some of these people, and I admit I distrust their motives. But they mention, for example, the Butler report, a British report that seems to support some of that British evidence. Am I getting this wrong here? How do you respond to that?
No, the British just make the Butler report makes an assertion that the British have separate intelligence, a different intelligence from these forged memos, and therefore the president was, quote, not wrong or correct in making the Africa assertion. But the only bit of information that was given by the U.S. to substantiate the president's assertion was this the Niger forgeries. And the only other bit of information that I'm aware of that the British have shared, again, their obligation under U.N. Security Council Resolution 1441 was to share all information on prohibited programs with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And the only other information the British have shared have been this trip by Wissam al-Zahawi, the Iraqi diplomat.
Is this the one that's way back in 1999?
1999, yeah.
Yeah, so it's
again, I would also point out that whatever the Butler report might have said, it's very clear from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence report that the U.S. did not believe the British had any good intelligence at all and told both the Senate and the White House so 4 months before the President's State of the Union address.
I should also note that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that one of those 16 words in the President's State of the Union address was the word recently. And I don't think 3-4 years back, it justifies as recently.
That's a good point.
I want to move on, though, and talk about how they responded, because in some ways, even more shocking than the fact that the President lied to get Americans into war and lied about a nuclear threat, is really how they responded to you. Now, you know, I'm used to them trashing the messenger. I'm sure you probably expected that, too, after what happened to Richard Clark and Paul O'Neill. But what they did to your wife does seem exceptional.
Well, I wrote this article in July. I gave the administration 3 months, approached them privately, both directly through the State Department, indirectly through people who were close to the president, as well as through interviews on background with selected journalists from the Washington Post and the New York Times. In response, Condoleezza Rice, when she was asked what the White House knew about the Niger case by Tim Russert on Meet the Press, said maybe somebody in the bowels of the agency knew, but nobody in my circle, which, of course, was a flat-out lie.
How high did you go, Joe? How high did you go? I mean, she said no one in my circle. How high in her circle did you go?
Well, certainly, as it turns out, if you take a look at the reports, Stephen Hadley and she and Dr. Rice were recipients of memoranda from George Tenet saying, don't use, we don't want the president to be a witness of fact on this assertion.
So Dr. Rice actually had that memo in front of her before she told Tim Russert that no one in our circle knew about it.
Well, they had it in October of 2002. Now, Stephen Hadley says he forgot, and Condoleezza Rice says she forgot.
That's forgetting.
Hey, remember that the administration was required by the use of authorization resolution, use of force authorization resolution. The administration was required to prove to itself that the threat posed by Saddam Hussein was so grave that it warranted military action. The only threat that could be grave enough to warrant our going to war with Saddam Hussein under this use of force authorization was weapons of mass destruction. And the only weapon of mass destruction that is truly society-changing is nuclear. So for them to have not sort of followed closely or remembered a bogus nuclear assertion is just a bald-faced lie on the face of it.
And, of course, Condoleezza Rice is the one that said we shouldn't wait until we have a mushroom cloud appear over an American city. Stephen Hadley is her deputy, the same person who first praised Richard Clark until he found out what Richard Clark had to say and then trashed him. Stephen Hadley, by the way, has been involved in a number of the cover-ups, perhaps as many as John Bolton. We'll be back with more of my guest, Ambassador Joe Wilson, right after these messages.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, three episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TopStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is the esteemed Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV, the author of The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity, one of the few people in the Bush administration to actually stand up and say, you know what, stop lying to the American people. And, Joe, I need to ask you, you said there were three people that went down to Niger, you, a general, and someone else.
Well, our ambassador on the scene.
Our ambassador on the scene.
Our ambassador in NAMA also made a report.
Now, all three made reports that the information was false. Bush comes on air, does the State of the Union, tells America, tells the world a lie. You then go through back channels and say what? That
that you need to correct the record. Once it became clear that they were talking about Niger, I did everything I could to get them to correct the record, for one reason and one reason only. I felt it was my civic responsibility. The First Amendment is very clear on the obligation of a citizen to, or the right of a citizen to petition his government for the redress of a grievance. We have an obligation as citizens to hold our government to account for what it says and does in our name, no more so than when we undertake this solemn decision to send our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines off to kill and to die in the name of the American people. It was important to correct the record. I thought it was important. Colin Powell obviously didn't, because only a week after the State of the Union address, he decided not to use that same Niger assertion in his speech to the United Nations. But he, of course, saw no reason to have the president correct the record.
Now, what did people tell you? And when you said in back channels, look, you know, the president got this wrong, did they say, oh, we'll fix it, or shut up, Joe Wilson, or what did they tell you?
No, once it became clear I was, serious about this, to the best of my information, a White House group of political hacks got together and decided they would do an intelligence operation on me, what they called a workup. Find out all they could about me so that they could discredit me if, in fact, I went public with this.
You think they knew that you were going to go public if they didn't respond?
Oh, sure.
Now, what about the...
They were good to go within days.
So the fact that they were good to go within days...
Operation, I might add.
Well, in fact, that tells you that they were ready. The fact that they were ready to go within days. They didn't have to take a few days. I know, in fact, on Richard Clark, it took them a little bit of time to come up with, trying to come up with something. But let me ask you this. The ambassador and the general, were they also complaining? Did they also threaten to go public?
When they were questioned by the Washington Post, they agreed that their conclusions mirrored mine, and then they shut up. They obviously got scared away.
Do you think that they were afraid of going public?
Wouldn't. Well, they opted not to. I don't know if they were afraid or not, but they certainly opted not to. And the general, of course, who's a Marine Corps general, is retired and has since gone back to work for the government. So
now, are these public names that you can tell us on the program?
Sure. The general's name is Carlton Fulford, F-U-L-F-O-R-D.
Okay.
And the ambassador is Barbro, B-A-R-B-R-O, Owens Kirkpatrick.
And is she still an ambassador?
She's no longer in Niger. I don't know where she is.
Okay, and the general is still working for the United States government.
Yeah, he heads up the African Center for Security Studies.
Because that it makes it very clear that in this administration, if you tell the truth, you are punished. And if you don't tell the truth, if you cover up something, you're promoted. I mean, look at George Tenet, got the Medal of Freedom, Don Rumsfeld. My question is, I mean, you get it, I get it, and you, I have to say, I have to give you credit. You're going around to all kinds of media sources explaining it. Is it that half the American people don't want to know? Is that what's going on here? What do you think?
Well, I think that in the aftermath of 9/11, Americans suspended their natural skepticism of the federal government and just bought into this. And I think the administration took full advantage of that to put forward an agenda, a foreign policy agenda, which on September 10th was considered to be a fringe part of the foreign policy debate, both with respect to Iraq, but also with respect to some other sort of military operations that they're considering.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I do want to get into the details of what the White House did to your wife, Valerie Wilson, and, whether you think the administration is going to go anywhere with the investigation, whether you trust Peter Fitzgerald, who's doing it, what do you think about the two reporters that the president, that Fitzgerald is threatening with contempt, Miller and Cooper. There's a lot more to talk about. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. At least two of the five people detained in the case of a missing Alabama teen in Aruba are being released. A court clerk in Aruba announcing that Paul Vandersloot, who is the father of suspect Joran Vandersloot, and party boat DJ Steve Cruz are both being freed due to lack of evidence. Three suicide attacks around the Iraqi city of Mosul today, killing more than 30 people. Many of the victims were police officers. The first two bombings targeted a police headquarters at an Iraqi army base. The third occurred at Mosul's main hospital, where casualties from the previous bombings were taken. Al-Qaeda's Iraq wing claimed responsibility for the third blast. Israel's Labor Party held off a vote for a new leader after a fight broke out involving party members at a meeting Sunday. A debate concerning irregularities in signing up party members in advance of the vote was cut short when fights erupted among party members and leaders. People are again flocking to Florida's northwestern shoreline following a fatal shark attack in the Gulf of Mexico. More news at USAradio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz7.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz7.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz7.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz7.com. That's HomeBiz7.com.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
I started taking turmeric where I would fill a teaspoon in a gel capsule myself twice a day, and it worked. It really reduced the plaque psoriasis. now I take curcumin, and I buy it already in the capsule. I take it twice a day, and it's reduced the plaque buildup greatly. I'd say almost 95%.
Wow.
It's done wonderful. I also have found that generic A&D ointment works as well as the Dovanex as far as putting it on and keeping the plaques from forming, too, as long as you keep it on. Just the, you know, generic A&D ointment.
We're very big on A&D ointment. Terry, it stands for?
Well, it's vitamin A and vitamin D in a petrolatum base. And you're saying you found you didn't even have to buy the brand name A&D ointment. You were looking at a generic.
This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. My guest is the esteemed former ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV, a man who saved hundreds of lives back in the U.S. Embassy back during the first Iraq War, but did arguably an even more brave thing. He came out and told the truth about an administration lying to us, and he paid the ultimate price, or at least his wife did. They destroyed her career. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. If you've called in, I just want you to hold on a little bit longer. I want to finish what happened to Valerie Wilson, the wife of Joe Wilson, and then we're definitely going to go right to your calls. So, Joe, let me go right to it. So, when was it, a week or two after you wrote your piece in the New York Times?
So the administration decided they were just going to stonewall this, and so I finally called the State Department, a friend of mine at the State Department, who said he thought that if I was going to, if the story was going to come out, I was going to have to write it myself. I did too. I wrote the story. I wrote 1,500 words for the New York Times entitled What I Did Not Find in Africa. The next day, the administration spokesman told a Washington Post reporter that the 16 words did not merit inclusion in the State of the Union address. And then a week after that, Robert Novak wrote an article about me in which he dropped into the sixth paragraph, I think it was, the fact that my wife is a CIA operative.
Now, of course, Robert Novak, to most of us, is no stranger. He's a right-wing columnist. And
I think columnist is a bit of an exaggeration.
Hack? How about right-wing hack?
He's just basically a stenographer for the right wing.
Fair enough. And what do we know about who he's been talking to? The story goes around, and I'm not sure what's true and what's not. That's why I've got you on the show to answer the questions. But the story is that Chris Matthews of Hardball told you that Karl Rove said that your wife is, quote, fair game,
unquote.
Yeah,
that's in the book. In fact, that sort of leads off the book. In the week after the Novak article appeared, the White House political office and the White House communications office decided that their strategy was going to be to try and change the subject from the 16 words to Wilson and his wife, as if my wife's occupation had anything to do with anything. Or as I told Novak, the story isn't about my wife. The story isn't even about me. The story is about the 16 words and how they get in there. A week after the Novak article appeared, I got a call from Chris Matthews, who said that he had just been on the telephone with Karl Rove, who said that my wife was fair game.
Now, I mean, that's amazing stuff. Of course, there is an investigation. The Bush administration resisted an independent investigation, but there is an investigation currently with the attorney Peter Fitzgerald, the Illinois district attorney, and yet it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
His name is Pat Fitzgerald.
Excuse me, Patrick
and,
Fitzgerald.
The CIA referred the matter to the Justice Department in September of 2003. Almost 2 years ago. In December, the Attorney General recused himself because of a potential conflict of interest and turned it over to the special counsel. The special counsel has told the courts that he has, for all intents and purposes, wrapped up the investigation and had done so by October, a month before the last election, but that wasn't going to indict until they resolved the remaining outstanding matters, which revolved around testimony requested from New York Times reporter Judy Miller and Time magazine reporter Matt Cooper.
Now, of course, Judy Miller and Matt Cooper were not part of the original discussion of this. Some people in the White House told Novak something and he printed it, right?
Right. Now, the story from a White House or a senior administration source is that two White House officials called six reporters. Novak claims he wasn't one of those six, so he didn't even make the first team of tame reporters they leaked to. I don't know if Judy Miller and Matt Cooper were among those six or not, but they apparently have information that Mr. Fitzgerald wants. They have asserted their rights under what they believe to be the First Amendment to be able to preserve the confidentiality of their sources. Seven judges have looked at this, including the whole district, the U.S. Court of Appeals Court, and the case is now before the Supreme Court, and they will decide, presumably tomorrow, they will announce whether they're going to hold the case, look into the case in next session, or just allow the Court of Appeals decision to stand.
Tomorrow, so they might well come up with a ruling on this tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they're expected to.
Wow. Now, here's what I don't get. I mean, Novak is claiming, this seems to me like just a bald-faced lie. Novak is claiming that he wasn't directly contacted by the administration and that Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper, who are not right-wing hacks, let's just say, they are reporters, that they were told and he wasn't told. That's Novak's story?
No, I don't think Novak says anything about Cooper and Miller. And it's hard to decipher what Novak's latest story is. Because he has changed the story several times since the case first broke.
Tell me what he said. What are his different stories?
Well, he said that he was contacted by the, he told me, first of all, by the CIA.
Okay.
And then he wrote to the administration officials, had told him. And then he said that they had not told him. He had actually asked about it at a luncheon discussing other stuff. He's also said, he originally said that, he felt it was okay to publish it. He then said that he had contacted the CIA, admitted finally that he had contacted the CIA. They told him not to publish it, but he had taken it for a soft no rather than a hard no.
Now, what's interesting is that Robert Novak hasn't been held in contempt, unlike Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper.
And there's a couple of theories on that. One theory is that he has already sung like a canary. In other words, he met with Fitzgerald early on and gave Fitzgerald everything he wanted to know, therefore is of no longer any interest to them for the purposes of eliciting information. And the second theory is that he may have been named a target or a subject, in which case he would be within his rights to assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Most people believe that it's probably the first rather than the second, because had he asserted his Fifth Amendment rights, the special counsel would likely have offered him immunity in exchange for his testimony.
Well, tell me this. Why can't Fitzgerald proceed without Miller and Cooper?
Well, I'm not an attorney, and nor am I privy to the details of his thinking. This case is really between him between the U.S. government.
I have to tell you, there's some people out there that suggest that Fitzgerald isn't as independent as we would hope him to be and that he's playing political favors here.
Well, I don't believe that. I think Pat Fitzgerald is a straight arrow. I've met with him. Everybody to whom I've spoken who knows him says that he is a man of the highest integrity, and I have no reason to doubt that. It is true, however, that the statute under which he operates, it makes him less independent than the old independent special prosecutor statute, which has lapsed.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll take a break and get to some of our callers if you have time to hang on.
Sure.
There's been a suggestion that the vice president's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, may have been involved in this outing of your wife. What do you know about that?
Well, I've heard that, too. In fact, I reported that because I'd heard it from a number of different sources that the first meeting to discuss the so-called workup on me was in his office or in the vice president's office itself. That's not to say the vice president was necessarily present, but the suite of offices. I've heard that repeatedly that he is intimately involved in this. Karl Rove was intimately involved at a minimum.
Do you advocate that Rove and Scooter Libby be required to take lie detector tests?
It's not my case. I would support anything that the Justice Department and Mr. Fitzgerald said that he needed in order to get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
I believe, frankly, the reason we're not at the bottom of it is because the president refuses to hold anybody to account.
Well, I think you're right there, and I also think you're being a little too nice, which is your right. My view is that we should demand that Karl Rove and Scooter Libby take lie detector tests, and if they refuse, they shouldn't be in high office. We'll be right back with your calls at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, right after these messages.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the arthritis lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to HealthStarProducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStarProducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com.
I only wish that Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived to witness this day. General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe.
That is the voice of Harry Truman, and so is this.
Some time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT.
Shortly after, we heard this.
Anchored in Tokyo Harbor, the Japanese have just officially laid down their arms. They have signed terms of unconditional surrender.
The Truman Presidency and his own words on CD for 1995. Go to TalkStarRadio.com for information.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest today is really, I think, a hero in the sense that he was willing to know. He knew the administration would fight back. Maybe he didn't know how they would fight back, but he knew they would try to get him if he came and told the truth about the president lying to get us into war. He nonetheless put his country ahead of his president, and his family has been paying the price ever since. I've got a caller on the line. It is Dave in Northern California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, Mark, and...
Oops, did we lose Dave? Dave, I hope you call back. I'm afraid we lost Dave. Ambassador Wilson, you still there? We lost both of them. We've had technical problems today like you wouldn't believe. Well, hopefully we can get back both Dave and Ambassador Joe Wilson back on the line, because there are a lot of things to talk about in addition to what was done to Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Wilson. By the way, they have her in the media as Valerie Plame, because that's the name that Robert Novak used. I guess it's her maiden name, but apparently she calls herself Valerie Wilson. One of the first things that Ambassador Joe Wilson did was tell me that I was wrong about that and corrected me on air. So Valerie Wilson is her name. But, you know, there's more than that. Interestingly, the 60 Minutes report, remember the 60 Minutes report that was on Bush's AWOL stuff, the fact that he was absent without leave and the documents that were forged, even though they were accurate, they were just a recreation of accurate documents. That report, here's a little known fact, that report replaced a prior 60 Minutes report that was going to be on the fact that the president had lied about nuclear weapons, about Iraq trying to get nuclear weapons, in his State of the Union speech. Did you know that? It was going to be right on 60 Minutes that night, and, well, they got rid of it. Apparently, it was too close to the election. I don't know. Ambassador Joe Wilson's back. Joe, do you know anything about that 60 Minutes report?
Oh yeah, I was interviewed for it. And it got bumped by the Dan Rather breaking of the story about the papers related to George Bush's National Guard Service, Air National Guard Service. And then after that blew up, CBS decided that it was politically inappropriate to air this during an election campaign, and they buried it.
Politically inappropriate to
show... I can't remember the exact language, but essentially it was that, yeah.
I mean, in other words, they're going to show the president lied to America about a nuclear threat to get us into a war where 1,600 Americans are dead, 10,000 or more are wounded, and tens of thousands of Iraqis are dead, and it was politically inappropriate to tell the American people about that before an election?
Well, the story was actually about the... it was an investigation into the source of the forgeries. And I frankly don't know where the, what conclusions they made. I don't know if they concluded that, you know, somebody in the administration was involved or not. I tend to doubt it. But they decided that it was too controversial.
And they never did run any story on that, did they?
They haven't run the story yet, no.
The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Ambassador Wilson can take your calls, and I'm afraid we lost our callers who were holding, so call on back, and he can stick around and answer your questions. But I do have a question, Joe, and it's about the broader context of all of this. I mean, here we have an administration that put pressure on analysts to say what it wanted to hear, to cherry-pick the data, if you will, to try to pick out the pieces of intelligence that it liked and not disclose the pieces that it didn't like. And I guess at the end of the day, is this something that happens in all administrations, or is this an administration that's really being, I don't know, perverse about this?
Well, I think that this has been the most secretive, the most oppressive, and the most deceptive administration in my close to 30 years in and around Washington. I came to Washington when Gerry Ford was president. And I've not seen an administration that has been as bad as this one.
And in fact, you worked for this president's father.
I did indeed. This president's father made me an ambassador, and we have great respect for this president's father and great respect for the foreign policy team that he had around him, of which I was part. And in the book, I go into some detail about how we managed the first Gulf War from my perspective in Baghdad, but also working very closely with the likes of the president himself, Brent Scowcroft, and Jim Baker.
We have our caller again, Dave from Northern California. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am. Are you able to hear me?
We hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's great, Mark, and Ambassador Joe. I think almost every week, sometimes almost every day, we learn more and more of what a dreadfully low-charactered administration we have gotten right now. They, in all ways possible, act to the detriment of the people. They are in the business of trying to help themselves at the very top to get everything that they can possibly grab. And if they don't go along with them, yes, you'll be the victim of vendettas. You will be smeared. The deception and fraud is their game. I don't know how much worse it can get, but I do appreciate you both speaking out as frankly as you do on it.
Well, thank you, Dave. Do you have a question for the ambassador?
Do you think it's as bad as I do? I think they're psychopaths. I think they should all be in prison. I think that this whole neocon PNAC group is criminal in measure beyond what you... That's my question.
Well, those are very strong words. Joe Wilson, what do you think?
Well, I certainly think that the foreign policy that they have conducted in this administration has been reprehensible. Whether it's criminal is really up to other people to decide. I think a good case could be made that this was neither a preemptive war nor even a preventive war, which makes it a war of aggression, and that puts us on the wrong side of international law. I also agree that these neoconservatives, and what he called the PNACers, which means those who were part of the group that drafted this policy statement known as the Project for the New American Century, are frankly just fruitcakes. And they were basically considered to be fruitcakes on September 10th. September 11th happened, and the administration was groping around for an approach, and these guys offered up theirs. Indeed, I think it's on page 67 of their policy statement. They say that the sweeping policies that they would want to put into place would only be able to be done in the event of a national tragedy along the lines of Pearl Harbor, which, of course, is what they got.
Well, there are some that suggest that the administration purposely allowed this attack to occur to create that kind of
9/11.
I want to ask you about that. I also want to ask you about the Downing Street memo when we come back. Dave, thank you very much for your call. If you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, the concluding moments of Ambassador Wilson and the Inside Scoop after this.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family. If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is the esteemed former ambassador, Joe Wilson, a person who put his career and although he didn't know it at the time, his wife's career on the line to tell Americans the truth about the Bush administration. And, Joe, I got to say, you know, when you look at what the people behind PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, wanted, they said they wanted a new Pearl Harbor. And then you look at the way the administration exploited this war. I have not come to the conclusion on air that they allowed September 11th to go through on purpose, but a lot of my listeners have. And they write me all the time saying that they think the administration actually allowed September 11th to occur, or even worse, were behind some of it because of their surprise at how the administration has used an event that should bring America together and used it to divide us. And I haven't come to that conclusion yet, but I did want to, on behalf of my listeners, ask you about it.
Sure. Well, I'm obviously not privy to some of the investigations that went on, but I would find it hard to believe that an administration would do that to its own people.
See, that's what I just find it too hard to believe, and yet this administration has done so many things.
Well, the fact that they've exploited it is undeniable, and the fact that they have been, I think, in my judgment, really... deleterious in some of the things that they've done, I don't think that they would have stood by while this thing happened.
See, that's all we've come to, is that these people can't be that evil. And
opportunistic, yes.
But, yes. Let me ask you this. Just recently, you were in the basement of a House office building. The Republicans refused to allow this kind of investigation to occur in the... On the above ground floors, but in the subterranean floors, John Conyers had an investigation into what's called the Downing Street Minutes or Downing Street Memo that Bush was, and the administration was fixing the facts and intelligence around the Iraqi policy. And you testified before that. What was your testimony about?
Well, I just shared my own experience with the administration having manipulated intelligence to fit political decisions that had already been made. And, of course, I wrote my article a year after the Downing Street Minutes or the Downing Street briefing of the Prime Minister took place. So clearly, as early as a year before I spoke out, the British were convinced that the administration was doing just what I accused the administration of doing.
And, of course, John Bolton is known to have changed intelligence to fit his policy in Cuba and Syria and now apparently in Iraq, although the administration won't turn over those documents. Is he sort of a typical crazy PNACer?
Well, he's certainly one of them, yeah. And he is one of their bulldogs. It would be a shame, in my judgment, to have him up at the United Nations. But we'll see where that goes. I just don't think he's well suited for international organizations, since all he really wants to do is destroy them.
So in the final analysis, between your experience and the Downing Street memo and John Bolton and the fact that most of our information in Iraq came from a guy the Germans told us not to trust named Curveball and Ahmed Chalabi, who wanted relations with Iran, why isn't it blank obvious to every, I mean, to me, I see the emperor has no clothes. You've been going around for a year or two now saying the emperor has no clothes. Why don't the American people see it? Or are they just starting to now?
I think they're beginning to see it. I think initially after 9/11, there was a great desire to give the president the benefit of your trust. And I think these people just abuse that for their own ends. Your first caller made it very clear. I think he made some very good points as to what they're all about. And I think when it settles in on people, the shock and the sadness at the extent to which the administration